afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
51575.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I love to do things.
The worst date I ever had was it was a blind date, and it ended up being my cousin, actually.
I'm in school hoping to be a bus driver.
Hey, happy Wednesday.
Welcome into this edition of Toucher and Rich. The guys are off this week. Brian Johnston, Mike Flynn in here with you for the rest of the day. Got Mike O'Brien in on headlines this morning. Tracy Clement producing for us. Bird just showed up. Thanks for being here, Bird. Appreciate it.
He's sick.
Okay. Well, you're here or you're not. I mean, like, you know what? It's like you say it all the time. If you're well enough to be on the field and you're playing, there's no excuses at that point, right?
It's like that's a Ben Roethlisberger move. I'm playing, but you know I got ribs.
Want to let everybody know I'm not feeling my best today.
Well, good, I have my out.
Good Christmas.
Yeah, you know it's Christmas. Up at 4 a.m.
Four in the morning.
Yeah, Santa comes early in my house.
You don't have. There's no rules. I mean, you have like four animals. I understand.
There's
but
rules, but
there's
they're
gotta
not
be
followed.
Rules and decorum here, boys.
They didn't come into the room at 6:30 though. But I heard him rustling around. So basically, I was up. But it was good. It was a good Christmas, though. Everybody got what they wanted. Not a lot of disappointment. Not a lot of crying. That's decent good. Day out. It was cold yesterday, but it wasn't like rainy. They can go outside. So it wasn't bad.
Man, I am in like a food hangover this morning.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Just so much food. We were hosting Christmas dinner last night. Smoked prime rib. Made this unbelievable potato thing. So much food. And my wife made a Wellesley fudge cake with homemade caramel ice cream. And I mean, it's insane. And, of course, it's like I'm trying to get to bed at a decent time because, you know, we got to get up and do this morning. Like, yeah, not a good sleep on a full stomach. But here we are. We are sitting here. We have to broach this topic at some point. So why not now? Because this is the first time we've ever worked with Mike O'Brien. Have you met Mike O'Brien?
I said hi when I came in, but that's the extent of my. You know me. I'm not the most. It's like trying to get a squirrel not high. How's it going? You know, I'm not going to give my life story.
Mike O'Brien once fired me, essentially.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah, this is true.
Oh, my God.
We used to work together when I was working in the American Hockey League up in Lowell. Mike was
If he has the ability to fire you, you worked under him.
Well, I didn't work for the team. He did. Okay. I was employed by the radio station. He was employed by the team. He was our media relations director. And one day called me into his office and said, hey, you're not going to be doing the games this year.
It was easy. One of the most awful moments in my professional
life. Oh, that's a lie. You fired many a guy. Johnson's the lowest on the totem pole.
Ryan Stans is the only guy I've ever fired.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, you must have really...
They were moving to another radio station. It wasn't,
that's what they told you.
Yeah.
I don't care what they told you.
The best part is I came in as the PR guy to start off with, just doing PR for the Devils, and I asked him, hey, I used to be a broadcaster. Love to get on the air with you just as color. I don't want your job. I'm happy doing just the PR and popping on the radio here or there next season. Yeah, I'm taking your job. Sorry.
It's the way it works.
That sounds like Greg Williams in Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, it's what Todd Haley was trying to do to Hugh Jackson, right?
Remember what I said. See, they're the coaches and the personnel guys. So he was in the year. That's all right. Well, hey, you know what?
I've been apologizing for the last decade, though, I think.
I've never had hard feelings toward Mike O'Brien.
I don't believe it, but you got to have some hard feelings.
No, you know what the funny part was so I had been doing that for 9 years, and I think it was the day before we had that meeting, I had met with Mike Thomas about coming to work here.
Okay.
And I was trying to figure out how I was going to balance three jobs all at once, basically. And so when he said, you're not going to be traveling, you're going to be, I'm like, okay, well, I've already got my weekends planned out. Like, I'm going to be working here a lot. So might as well, you know, might as well make a clean break of it, I guess. So I walked out of that office.
That information I'm just learning now.
I walked out of the office and I'm like, well, that kind of sucks, but, you know, I'm actually going to be doing okay. So. It wasn't the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, well, the show would have been much better if you're harboring ill will with him. I mean, it would have much the tension. I mean, we've seen this, any kind of, we've seen tension on the radio, on TV. It's much better radio if it's not your tension. I love it.
It's the Christmas season. I guess.
Thanks, man. Sorry again.
That's all right. You just keep apologizing over and over and over again.
Well, someday, hopefully, Johnson's in a position to fire you, and then then you'll have closure.
Right.
Right? Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, eventually, at some point, you're like, hey, come on in the office.
Just walk in, giant smile on my face.
I don't
want
to do this, but
hate,
you're fired.
Hate to break it to you, but we're going to have
fired.
To let you go.
We got to let you go. And then deserved. You guys can shake
hands.
Absolutely
deserved. Absolutely.
Did you watch any basketball yesterday?
I did. Through the lens of 8 bottles of wine.
This is like, look, and Thanksgiving's kind of the same, is in some ways the same way for a lot of people, where you got football going on all day, and it's on, but, like, how closely are you really paying attention to it? Like, I zoomed in on the...
Oh, are you talking about in a general sense?
Just in general.
I mean, I'll watch the Celtics, but no, the rest of them, no.
No, I mean, it's
to
just
me, Thanksgiving's different. The football games, there's only three of them. There's too many basketball games.
I know. They've really kind of
overkilled
that goose, haven't they?
And I think to me, football would draw more eyes.
Oh, of course.
Detroit. So I don't mind the Thanksgiving game. The Christmas games, if the Celtics weren't on, I don't know how much I would really watch.
I mean,
because of what I got going on.
We talked about this the other day. The Thanksgiving, that's okay, fine. We do what we do, and everybody loves football, and the country loves football. The NBA playing on Christmas Day, I've never really – I know it's a big day, and a lot of people look at this as almost like the opening of the NBA season. But to me, it's not right to have – especially playing like the Knicks and Bucks were playing at noon yesterday.
It's not right? What do you mean it's not right?
It's not right. You've got the players. Look, hey.
Oh,
the, no. Mike, wait. Let
you
me
sound
get,
like
let me get it. Let me
Popovich.
Get it out. No. The players, the guys that are making, you know, $10, $20 million, you know what? Go play. That's fine. But Hurley and I were talking about this the other day. You've got the people who are, you know, working at the concession stands and the parking lots and all that stuff, and that have to show up for work at like 9 a.m. on Christmas Day and leave their kids and all that.
The people now?
Yes. Yes, I am. I know you're not, although you like to hold yourself out as the last American hero. I am a true man of the people.
Well, that's not the reason why, whether it's our argument of having Detroit always a Thanksgiving Day game, or not
well,
having
no,
Christmas
that's,
Day
Well, no, that's
game.
More of an...
No, but I mean...
The Detroit having a Thanksgiving Day game is more an affront to America having to watch Detroit
true,
every year on Thanksgiving.
I could care less about the people that work there and every Thanksgiving they need to be... I mean, what about them? I mean, I've never seen you bring up that argument.
Well, because then. In Detroit and Dallas, that, you know, that comes with the territory. That's part of the deal. Like, they play every year on Thanksgiving. You just know that going in. But in the NBA, it could be your team may not, you know, most teams don't play on Christmas Day.
No, but at the end of the day, on a Christmas Day, there's not much to watch, as in live sporting.
Well, I understand that, but that doesn't mean you have to. You know what? Turn off the TV for 24 hours and spend some time with the family.
No, it's good.
Put on Christmas Vacation. Put on Die Hard, which was in a marathon yesterday.
No, but
watch a little Scrooged.
Yeah, but sports is in the fabric of this country, so it's so good to have it on in the background. And you can watch a little bit of both. But, I mean, the people that work the games, that's why we're going to shut off having basketball in the NBA?
Yes.
I think they're pretty much, well, I mean, the Knicks always have a game. You know, but they go home and away. So it's not every year. It's not something that they're missing Christmas every year so they can keep their job. So I don't think that's the reason for it. I think there's too many games.
Well, you know,
you should have one at noon, one at 3, and then one at you know, like 8, and that should be it. But other than that, I mean, it's fine. Background, you know, how much you watch on Christmas Day anyway? Didn't they used to have the, I always thought they used to play that, college bowl game in Hawaii on Christmas Day.
They did.
They did.
And they didn't
right?
have that yesterday.
Yeah. Is that new? Because that's what I look forward to watching. I used to watch that.
Did you really look forward to watching two random college football teams you don't care about?
Just on Christmas Day. If that game was on, you know, any other day but December 25th, I probably wouldn't have watched. But on Christmas Day, you know, you're sitting around, a little football. That's and Christmas Eve, nothing either. To me, which is another day which they should schedule sports.
Did Christmas Eve? You didn't watch the Denver Raider game?
Oh God!
Did anybody watch a second of that game?
I'm sure. Like I mean, there must have been an
opportunity to watch two garbage teams duke it out
on
Christmas Eve.
No, I didn't.
We didn't turn it on once.
I watched the movie. We watched A Wonderful Life there, and then at the end, when I kind of flipped it on after the thing, I bet you it did numbers though on Christmas Eve. Probably had pretty good numbers.
I'm sure. Well, there are a lot of people who don't have families, so yeah, I guess it would.
Hey, if the draft does numbers, this is gonna that'll do numbers.
Well, I mean, any NFL game does numbers. I mean, that's not any trick. But yeah, you talk about feeling bad for people who had to work. The people at the Oakland Coliseum. It's like potentially their last Raider game. It's on Christmas Eve. Imagine being the popcorn guy there. All right. Speaking of NBA on Christmas Day, the Celtics did have a game yesterday, and it was a pretty good one. We'll get into that as we touch on what happened last night. We'll talk about some of the other NBA games yesterday. LeBron potentially injured. He's not feeling well after the game yesterday. We'll get into that coming up as well. It's Johnston and Flynn in for Tutcher and Rich here on this Wednesday morning.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston, Mike Flynn in for Tutcher and Rich. And time to take a look at what happened last night, brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin'. It's Dunkin' Go-To's. Participation may vary. All right, Mike, so Christmas Day, Celtics hosting the Philadelphia 76ers yesterday. Hell of a game, actually, for what I got a chance to see, at least. Came right down to the wire. In fact, went on into overtime, thanks to Kyrie Irving coming up with a late jumper.
Tatum on the inbound to Horford. Celtics down two. Gordon Hayward has had a rough night, but he's in the game here. Horford dribbles up top, hand to Kyrie, chased by Butler. 15 on the shot clock, 27 seconds to go. Boston down two. Kyrie trying to shake him off. Right-hand dribble at the free throw line. Kyrie stop and start, elevates, very tough shot. Bounces in. Come on, Kyrie. Come on.
Kyrie, get your butt in here right now.
Get your butt in here right now. Well, he's an elite shot maker. I mean, we've, you know, saw that with his time in Cleveland and going against Jimmy Butler, but He put on a pretty good show yesterday.
He did. 17 for 33 shooting. It didn't stop. When they got into overtime, he took the team on his back.
Hand to Kyrie. Quick three. Straight away. No! Got it.
Push Jimmy Butler away. Jimmy Butler went for the okie doke.
His Christmas cup runneth over. Up the right side. Kyrie for three.
No!
Got it.
Mama. Somebody took my Christmas gift. It was Kyrie Irving. Oh.
The only guy who's delivered more today had a sleigh to do it. 40 for Kyrie, and the Celtics lead 118 to 114.
Max. So are they 2-0 or 2-1 since the team meeting?
That would be...
Was that after the Sun game or the... Buck game that they did.
I believe that was after the Bucks game that they had the 36-minute meeting or whatever it was. I know you love the closed door team meeting.
When you have team
always
meetings,
always turns things around.
I mean team meetings to me are usually teams that stink. But they're 2-0.
Well, I mean they had lost. You know, I mean, losing to the Bucks is no shame, but they had lost two pretty bad games before that.
All season. And probably where they stand now, wait, somewhere at the 4 seed, maybe. Stone's throw from the 2 seed. But they've been a disappointment all year. Just the toughness from this team, the mental toughness, the grit. I mean, it's just not there. Selfishness. But, I saw that they had the team meeting. I'm like, oh, my God. They may win 38 games, but they're 2-0 since the meeting. That's a good thing. You don't want to have that team meeting, the big blow up as a coach, and then you lay an egg after that. Because they went 0-2, there's no place to go after the team meeting.
Yeah, you can't just have another team meeting.
No, if it's a one-shot deal, and they rarely work. You know, get everybody in the room and air your grievances. Like, usually that makes things
worse.
Well,
it was right around that Festivus time.
Airing of the grievances. And I'm sure there was a lot.
Might have been some feats of strength in there.
But Kyrie Irving talked about sacrifice, right? Well, he didn't sacrifice yesterday.
Brad Stevens talked about Kyrie stepping up.
Well, I mean, and, you know, he had to guard Chandler some. He had to guard some of the wings. You know, he was kind of throwing them all over the place, and he did a good job. But we need everybody to be locked in on those things. Everybody needs to make those extra effort plays and defend, and that's the way teams function. So I thought everybody did a good job. Other than the third quarter, I thought we really had a great defensive effort.
He's talking about everybody needing to kind of, you know, focus in and make those extra effort play. Like, you go back to last year's playoffs, right? The reason that the team was fun to watch was that's what you got out of them, right? It was those guys. It wasn't just like Marcus Smart making, you know, a diving play or a good defensive play. Like, everybody on the team felt like they were pushing it every single night, and they had to because they were shorthanded. You get everybody back, and now it feels like everybody just kind of, you know, takes their foot off the gas a little bit and looks around and says, okay, well, you know, that's okay. Kyrie will handle things, or, you know, somebody will bail us out with a big shot when we need it. And it doesn't always happen. Everybody's just got very comfortable this offseason, knowing that they were going to be a full complement of players this year, and they came into it, you know, kind of believing their own hype a little bit.
Well, certainly, every season is new, right? And like, where you end off is totally different when you come back and come to camp. And, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, looking at football, right, he's as good as anybody, that every year is different, right? There's always going to be a different dynamic to the team. Certainly, at least at the professional football level, there's a lot of turnover, no matter how good you are. Even if you win a Super Bowl, like 30% of your roster turns over. So, you know, the makeup of this team is tough. I mean, you have younger guys that, long-term, probably playing at the end of the year without Hayward and Irving, like, helped their development, but also gave this illusion that when these guys came back, that their role would be what it was at the end of the year, not what it is now. And certainly Rozier and Jaylen Brown, you've seen that. They haven't adjusted to that role. They're pissed off. They think they need more. And they're not guys that have, you know, done anything in this league or made a lot of money. So their job is to go out there. They want to play. They want to get paid. I don't blame them for that, but it just doesn't fit what they have here. You know, you have Gordon Hayward that's not the same guy, you know, coming back from the injury. So the makeup of the team is they're fighting that. I get that, but there's a lot of different agendas in that locker room. There's a lot of selfishness. I mean, even a guy like Jason Tatum, who I love, right? He's a guy that deferred a lot this year. I don't think he should as much this year. And there's probably some selfishness there with shot selection, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's a pretty big sample size of, like, it's a weird feeling team. Like, it doesn't feel good to me. Like, it's just, and I've always said they have young talent, but maybe too much. They're not defined roles. And now that they're trying to define those roles, guys like Jaylen Brown and Rozier have not responded to it.
Well, yeah, because they feel like their roles aren't what they want them to be.
I mean, you know, for the end of that season and all of the playoffs, they were the focal points, right? And, you know, at times they thrived in that role. Then you come back, it's like, well, wait a minute. You're not playing. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'll play my role. But now I have a guy like Gordon Hayward that's not producing or along those lines. Now you have Marcus Smart. He gets paid now, and, you know, he's trying to take on more of a leadership role. But it's just, it was a great win yesterday. There's no doubt about that. But to me, it's been very disappointing. I mean, I think the team, I mean, you've seen it. The teams that they've lost to, you know, they've had the easiest schedule in the NBA. So put that in perspective. You know, it's, what are they at, 12 losses now versus the easiest schedule in the NBA? I mean, that's like a 5-loss schedule, maybe. You know, and they already have 12. So that shows you, you know, that they're not playing
13,
well.
13, actually.
13?
20 and 13 after yesterday. Kyrie Irving, 40 points in 40 minutes yesterday.
You know, the responsibility of being a creator out there and knowing what my role is on this team, I think that, you know, I kind of let the game come to me and just wait for that moment to capitalize on. You know, that 6-point spurt went from, you know, it was a 2-point game to now it's a 4-point game. So just trying to make my impact on the moments where they matter most and use my teammates to the best of my abilities of utilizing their strengths as well down the stretch.
That last shot, by the way, that we played, that sequence where he hit the back-to-back threes, he comes flying down the court and just pulls up and launches that. I'm like, oh man, wasn't expecting that, because it's like you're you know, overtime's winding down. It's like you got the lead. You figure, okay, pull that up, run a little clock, you know, work for a better shot than that. Just pulls up and launches it. Of course he makes it. Of course he made, because it was that kind of day. Oh, they got Al Horford back yesterday too.
There's no question, you know, that I was going to play. You know, the game's so emotional. We were right there, and it just feels good to, you know, be able to finish out the game, no issues, and for me physically, and be able to get the win.
Big Al played 30 minutes last night in his return. 4 points, 9 rebounds. Out on 2 of 10 shooting, 0 for 5 from 3.
Two for 10, Al.
Had 9 rebounds, though.
He did.
He had some big rebounds in that game yesterday.
Well, I mean, listen, at this point, I think the Celtics need something.
Had 5 assists, too, Mike.
Well, he's a great passer.
Yeah.
I've been told. Every day.
Does those little things that don't necessarily show up on the score sheet. They didn't yesterday.
No, they didn't. But that was a good win. They needed that. The Sixers are playing, you know, I think they just thumped Toronto. I think that game was in Toronto, but like 20 points. So, you know, they were playing well, and they have some decent talent there. But I think it's good that you come in on Christmas Day, and right now anyway, and Embiid says this, it's not a rivalry. You know, it's good. That's a team that you just, like, you kind of beat all the time. You beat them in the playoffs. You know, kind of keep that role going here, because I'm, you know, more than likely you're going to see them come May and June. So it was a good win. Good job by Kyrie Irving. And, you know, I, you know, can they build on it? That's going to be the key. And maybe with Al Horford back, at the very least, there is leadership there, you know, and his demeanor potentially help that locker room. But until the younger guys or role players buy into their role and excel in that role, I think they're going to struggle.
All right, we will continue with a little bit more in the NBA yesterday. LeBron has got a sore groin. We'll talk about that coming up, and Mike O'Brien's going to give us Sports Hub headlines. It's a Wednesday morning with Johnston and Flynn in for Toucher and Rich.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brian Johnston and Mike Flynn with you here on this Wednesday morning in for Toucher and Rich. Be listening at 6:50 for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to Tube Neshoba Valley and a $50 gift card to their Outlook restaurant. Why drive when you can ski, ride, or tube so close to home at Neshoba Valley Ski Area? Well, we talked a little bit about the Celtics win yesterday, Mike, but there was plenty of other NBA action. Five games yesterday. Five games. How many people in America do you think sat down at noon yesterday and plowed through five straight NBA games?
0%. They may have watched the game here or there. I don't think the NBA in general doesn't have the fan base to watch a game that's...
Yeah, but there's some hardcores in there. I bet you there's at least 10,000 people in America who watched all five games without stopping.
Possible. Yeah. They had money on them. I'm sure people in
Joe
Vegas
Murray and it. Dan Lifshatz watched five consecutive NBA games yesterday. The big news coming out of the day yesterday, LeBron. The Lakers beat Golden State 127-101 yesterday, and they did it despite LeBron James injuring his groin in the third quarter. Draymond Green knocks the ball away from LeBron. He goes to grab it, and his leg slips out from under him, and he flops down on the court, grabbing at his groin, gets back up, goes back on defense, and apparently, you know, kind of heard a pop.
Yeah, he said he heard a pop.
Said he heard a pop. And then... you know, hung out by the bench and tried to stretch it out. Didn't work. What's he saying after the game?
Draymond got his hand on the ball, and I went to get the loose ball. Just overextended my groin, I guess. You know, then I felt it coming down the court. I actually overextended again back on defense. So it was just an unfortunate play.
What do you know about the severity of it?
I don't know. I'm going to get an MRI tomorrow. You know, I wasn't able to go back into the game, obviously, so get an MRI tomorrow. You know, with me with injuries, I'm never too concerned about them. You know, I was able to walk off on my own power. You know, we got a great medical staff here. I got a great trainer, and we get to it.
Well, I mean, if he, the pop, right? Pull from the bone, potentially. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but, you know, a pop is pretty significant. I don't think he would talk that way if he thought it was more than that. So.
He's still going to get an MRI today.
Well, I mean, to play it safe, he's your, $30 million man, so you want to make sure that, you know, it's the NBA. I mean, there's, you play every day. I mean, there's, you don't have a week in between games, so my guess would be if there's any inflammation or anything, he just won't play. Because, you know, more and more you get, the regular season's marginalized, right? Just get healthy for the playoffs and be fine. But how about Golden State getting thumped by the Lakers at home?
When LeBron only plays 21 minutes? Especially. Here's a little more of LeBron.
How much pride do you take in just being so durable? And what has been the key for that?
I take a lot of pride in it, so that's why it pissed me off not to be able to go back into the game. It's more than anything being available to my teammates, being available to my coaching staff. That's something I take more personal than anything. So, hopefully it's not a long thing, and I can get back on the floor as soon as possible.
The durability, it really is. I mean, you feel over the
amazing
course of his career. I just pulled up his numbers. There's only, I think, two seasons where he's played less than like 75 games. I mean, it's, you know, and a lot of those, you know, like the 75 games is, you know, LeBron's going to take a night off here. Like, you know, LeBron needs a rest after, you know, after we've had a heavy schedule.
Well, and the, you know, probably last season with Cleveland, those early Cleveland teams, that's a hard, like, 35 minutes a night he's playing, too.
Well, some
of he's like, dragging
the early part of his career, he was playing
guard.
Like 42 minutes a night, and they were hard.
Those Cleveland teams, that was hard minutes. No, I listen, there are a lot of things. I find LeBron James insufferable. I think he's unaware about things, but as a player, he's phenomenal. And certainly his durability, and the guy just plays, you know, big minutes, you know, doesn't get hurt. Carries teams on his back. I mean, that's true. And, you know, he takes pride in it, whatever. But, yeah, he just plays. And, you know, like, obviously the Heat teams were a lot better, and I'm sure, like, he played then also. You know, there were times he probably could have coasted. But certainly, yeah, his durability and the ability to just play, and, I mean, he's as good as there is. Like, I'm guessing by the time his career is done, which – is amazing, right, too, right? Like the wing position and how much they ask him, how he hasn't broken down earlier than this. I mean, he's like Kevin Garnett was when he came out. I mean, he's an old 34. I mean, these guys come out as a high schooler playing all those type of minutes. You know, most of those guys, you know, call it 22 years old back in the day. So, I mean, he's played a lot of minutes, too. So, I wouldn't be too concerned. It doesn't sound like it's too certain, but, I mean, you know, care less about LeBron. I'm glad he's out west.
Well, he and the Lakers are competing 20-14 after that win yesterday. They're only 2.5 games out of first place in the West. The Warriors dropped to 23-12 with the loss at home. Again, you know,
it shows you how important the best player in the world is.
Thumped at home on Christmas Day with LeBron only playing half the game, essentially.
Well, you had Steph Curry out for a while. I mean, I think Klay Thompson's struggling. But I feel once the playoffs get going, it's kind of irrelevant. I mean, whether they're – I mean, what seed they are. But whether they're one or five, I mean, you know, they're just so good. They'll figure it out. But LeBron going to the Lakers, right? How bad was that Lakers team last year? I mean, there was talent there, but it was selfish talent, and they weren't well coached. It wasn't organized, and LeBron gets there, and boom, look, they're 2.5 out of the best seed in the West.
Well, now you got LeBron out whining and dining Anthony Davis the other night at Kevin Garnett, who's publicly rooting for Anthony Davis to go to L.A.
How about that, huh? How about
KG?
Nice loyalty,
what are we
Kevin?
Doing? Help us out here a little bit. Danny's been after this guy for years. You're gonna just go out and say, "Oh yeah, he should go play with LeBron in L.A." It drives me insane.
Well, I mean, I get the attraction to play with him because he's such a great player, but I would think he'd be kind of a pain in the ass. I mean, I don't know what he's like. I mean, maybe not to a guy like Anthony Davis.
Well, yeah.
But,
I mean,
but
talk to Kyrie about what it's like to be second banana to LeBron. Because that's all you will be. Like, Anthony Davis is good enough to be the guy, like the superstar on a team. You know, going and playing second banana to LeBron, I don't know what kind of, you know, ego Anthony Davis has.
Well, I don't think he has an ego, and I feel like if you're second banana to LeBron, right? It's like if the team wins, it's because of LeBron. If they lose, it's because of you.
Yes.
Do you know? Like, that's how it's spun like that. Now, you know, Anthony Davis is different than J.R. Smith and Kevin Love, where, you know, the how he treats those guys and you know, that type of deal. But, you know, like, I don't know. I would think he'd be a pain to play with. Like, but he is a talented guy, certainly. Anthony Davis isn't going anywhere this year anyway. It doesn't matter. They're not going to trade him. You got to wait till at least the summer. But yeah, how about KG? I saw that. I'm like, my God, a little loyalty here, huh? Push him to the Celtics. Do your job.
Right. He should be out there talking about how great it is to play in Boston, how great it is to win a championship in Boston.
It is. It's much better. Hopefully Anthony Davis isn't attracted to that the L.A. thing.
Everybody's attracted to the L.A. thing. How could you not be attracted to the L.A. thing?
I'm not.
Yeah, what would be attractive about, you know, playing in, you know, perfect weather every day and, what, you know, movie stars sitting courtside, you know, just dating a Kardashian?
You can get that in Boston. There's tons of movie
just
stars
like
on the sideline.
L.A. Right? Weather out there today, no question.
Donnie Wahlberg, right? He's a big star.
Maria Menounos shows up.
Oh, man, what a fake fan.
Not a fake fan. She's a local girl.
Too much. She throws it in your face. That means it's fake.
All right, we'll continue. We'll give you a chance to win something coming up next. It's Johnston and Flynn in for Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich. For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
.985 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston and Mike Flynn in for Toucher and Rich. And right now, caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a four-pack of tickets to Tube Neshoba Valley, plus a $50 gift card to their Outlook restaurant as well. Why drive when you can ski, ride, or tube so close to home at Neshoba Valley Ski Area? Caller number 10 right now. 617-931-0985 will pick up that package. So we already established that you and the family had a nice Christmas. You know, me and the family had a nice Christmas. Mike, I assume you had a nice Christmas.
True.
Not everybody has a nice Christmas. Some people wind up in jail around Christmas time, Mike. Including my favorite holiday story of the year so far. It's early yet. We'll see more of these coming out throughout the day. A Kentucky man faces charges of assault and fleeing or evading police after an argument about which day his family should have Christmas dinner.
Who was he arguing with?
His wife / girlfriend or whatever. Deputies dispatched to the scene of a reported domestic dispute. Upon their arrival, the suspect, David Brannon, attempted to flee but was detained. An investigation revealed that Brannon allegedly threw several items, including the ham that they were supposed to be eating for Christmas dinner. Threw a ham. After an argument over which day the family should have the Christmas dinner. I guess it was like it must have been like a Christmas Eve or Christmas Day type of thing.
Yeah, something tells me it's like the ham was probably not the issue.
No,
it was about the thousand things that led up to the ham.
You don't think it was just about Christmas dinner?
That it was no. I mean, whether it was.
I mean, you don't just throw a ham for no reason. It's not just, you know.
That guy was cracking a Christmas dinner no matter what. Like, my guess would be it's like 2 weeks of you know, trying to shop and dealing with her and everything like that, that the ham just got in the way. That was just a reason to throw it. People lose their minds, though, like this time of year.
It's a stressful
time
of year.
It's a very stressful time.
A lot of people get stressed out over, you know, things. You got relatives coming to visit, you know, some of which you may not actually want to come to visit.
No.
You know,
the
kids are yipping about Santa Claus coming. You got, you know, there's a lot going on in your life. Last thing you need. See, I guess my question would be, I mean, if you are living with someone, haven't you established before now, like, when Christmas, like, the big Christmas dinner is going to happen? Is it going to be Christmas Eve, Christmas? I would think that would be kind of well established by the time you get to the point where you're so fed up with somebody, you would throw a ham at them.
Well, you would think so, but who talks to the people they live with? I mean, I'm guessing.
Maybe he was just ticked off that they were having ham. I mean, that could be, too.
Yeah, ham is a bad
choice.
That's
terrible.
Steak, turkey, you could go with, but ham is bad. Dude, people lose their minds. You see a concert. My wife almost lost her mind a couple weeks ago. I was smart early in my family career that I would fumble the football in terms of, like, we got to get this, this, and that. I would just basically screw it up. because now it's out of my hands. It was well calculated.
Oh, it was the old. It was the old. I'm going to be bad at this intentionally, so that I don't have to do it anymore.
So now it comes down to I'm responsible for pretty much one person, and I pick up the prime rib. That's about it. So my job is easy. So yes, it puts a lot of stress on the second part of that, but I'm willing to deal with a little bit of outburst. But yeah, she like lost her mind, and like all the schedule's filling up. I can't do it. This and that. So. She relatively has a good support system. Like, this guy probably just lost his mind, threw a ham, and gets arrested for it. But, so that was on Christmas Day?
It was on the 23rd, I believe.
Okay.
So, again, which is why I feel like it was probably about, you know, he comes in, she's preparing the ham. He's like, why are you preparing the ham? We're doing, like, that's 2 days away. She goes, well, no, we're having the ham tomorrow. And he goes, what do you mean tomorrow?
He may be right, though. The big meals and Christmas Eve, nobody does that.
Well, we do both. Like, we do,
well,
you know.
Look at you, huh?
Yeah.
Must be nice.
It's a different, you know, it's like we do the kind of Italian Feast of the Seven Fishes type of a meal on Christmas Eve and then the prime rib last night.
Well, you know, not everybody is as fortunate as you. Usually the one meal in Christmas. So
if you're having ham, obviously you're not as fortunate as me because nobody would willingly subject themselves to – thick-cut, disgusting ham.
So did he, what, he spent the night in a clink?
Yeah. $1,000 bond.
For what? He's throwing a ham?
He got charged with assault, and then when the police showed up...
Oh, he assaulted the wife.
He got charged with fleeing and evading police, so he ran. This wasn't a case of, like, cops show up and he's just, you know, there. I'm picturing, because we've all seen the, I mean, this is in Kentucky, too. So he's definitely got the white tank top on when the cops show up, if he's wearing a shirt at all.
So this guy's got bigger problems than assaulting a ham.
Well, not assaulting the ham. He didn't assault the ham.
Right.
Assault with ham, not.
Oh, assault with ham.
Right. It's like assault. Because he threw the ham at somebody. That's assault. So, he's not going to be charged with abusing the ham.
I don't think that's a crime.
If
you punch somebody or you kick somebody, right? It's you know, assault with a dangerous weapon.
Yes.
I didn't realize ham could be classified.
Well, I don't know if they've this might be like misdemeanor assault. Like if you threw something, you know, little sharper, perhaps it's, you know, would rise to that level. I get one more real quick one. This one, I haven't figured out exactly why this is a crime now, apparently. I thought this was just a harmless prank. An 18-year-old arrested on Christmas Eve in Pennsylvania on a felony charge for leaving a flaming bag of dog feces on the porch of a home. That's a felony now?
A felony? That's a little harsh. Why?
I mean, I guess the porch might have caught on fire bit,
well,
but
yeah,
even so.
Sense. Yeah. Well, it is on fire. That should be a felony, right? What happens if they sprints?
18-year-old Dylan Prince charged with single count of arson and risking catastrophe and 4 counts of reckless endangerment, which I guess there must have been 4 people inside, so... He's being held on $20,000 bail.
Holy God. 20
grand? 20 grand bail for lighting a bag of dog poop.
No, but I get it. So they're probably, you know, it is a arson flame. What happens if, you know, wind? But, I mean, he's got to get off, right? I mean, are they going to – I would imagine a felony. What's that? Felony's, what, 3 years?
It could be. Yeah, there's some serious charge. I mean, arson, reckless endangerment, like those are – You can go away for a while for that. You know, what are you in for? Murder? What are you in for? Lit a bag of dog poop on somebody's front step?
Holy cow, felony. Dude, that kid must be like, you want to talk about crap in a brick right now. $20,000 bond.
Yeah.
I mean, who has that check to write? Brutal.
All right, let's get sports hub headlines here. We'll get into some Patriots coming off of their win over Buffalo and looking forward to the final weekend of the regular season. It's Johnston and Flynn in for Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.